entertainers in the building.
Greetings, 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 everyone. Greetings and welcome to the Stamp of Approval podcast. This is episode 7. As promised, we are dropping 2 this week, right back to back on episode 6. As you know, we missed a few weeks and a lot of things built up, a lot of topics built up, a lot of things were going on that were on your televisions or on your radio stations or on your podcast, sports talk, you know, formats, that is. And I want to kind of touch on some of those. Episode 6, we were able to get caught up on what's been going on the field. Here in episode 7, we're going to touch on things that have been going on off the field, hot button topics around the country that people have been discussing. It's been kind of at the forefront, a lot of social media debate going on, a lot of chatter here and there on the shows and on the podcast. So I'll give you my 2 cents. We'll discuss it. I'm anxious to hear you guys' feedback. It's really interesting here getting emails and getting DMs on social media. For those of you that know me, getting text messages from you where you may agree or disagree with some of my takes. And I think this one will probably be the one that generates the most chatter because a lot of these things we're talking about, I think people may have an opinion one way or another on, and I'm anxious to hear what that is. So we'll get right into that. First, though, I do want to thank you, first and foremost, for taking time out of your day to come and spend it with me. I realize you've got a lot of choices, and the fact that you've chosen to spend it with me and you support my podcast is very humbling to me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I also want to thank my sponsor, or sponsors rather, Pickers Vodka, Davidson's Reserve Tennessee Whiskey. As you know, the holiday season is effectively here. Next week is Thanksgiving week. After Thanksgiving, we are full go into the Christmas season. So, you know, you're going to have to be getting people presents. You're going to have to be taking, you know, something to your Christmas parties, your holiday parties. Get a bottle of Pickers. Get a bottle of Davidson's Reserve Tennessee Whiskey. You won't be disappointed. Trust me on that one. Also, big thanks, big shout out to B Hyphen and the Hyphen Podcast Group for all he does for allowing my voice to be carried through whatever the process is it has to take, through my microphone, through my computer, you know, to your device. B Hyphen is the man that makes it happen. So thank B Hyphen. And I would encourage everybody to check out the Hyphen Podcast Group and see if there are other podcasts over there that interest you. There are a lot of really talented podcasters over there, and I'm sure there's something that you would want to get into. So speaking again to get into it, let's go ahead and get into it. We've had a few coaching changes. It is coaching change season. In colleges especially, we've got about a week and a half left in the regular season, and the college coaching carousel will begin spinning at full speed here relatively soon. Already a couple of major dismissals. Arkansas let Chad Morris go. Florida State let Willie Taggart go. Both those moves, I don't think, surprised anybody. Arkansas, Chad Morris, just, I don't know what happened there. Chad Morris, at each stop along his way, had done really well. He was a Texas guy, Texas high school guy. He knew the lay of the land down there. And Arkansas, granted, and I know what you're saying, well, Arkansas, what's that got to do with Texas? Well, Arkansas traditionally relies on Texas for their talent. They recruit Texas hard, and they have to recruit Texas very well in order to be successful. And Chad Morris should have been able to do that, but he just could not make it work on the field. Just embarrassing season for Arkansas. I think the last straw happened a while back, but when you get blown out at home as an SEC school to Western Kentucky, taking nothing away from Western Kentucky, but that shows that you need to go a different direction when you're Arkansas, and you're going to be competing with Alabama, with LSU, with Auburn in the SEC West each year. And you can't be, you get embarrassed by Western Kentucky. It's time to make a move because that's not working. You know, interesting thing about Arkansas, the lead name I keep hearing to come in and replace Chad Morris is Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Gus Malzahn is being paid a great deal of money, but almost as soon as he signed the agreement, the Auburn fans were still wanting to fire him because, you know, he got that agreement basically, or he got that extension after he beat number one Georgia, and then 2 weeks later beat number one Alabama back in 2017. I don't remember the exact timeline, but I remember a week after he beat Alabama, Auburn was embarrassed by Georgia at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the SEC championship game. But I think they may have agreed to the contract extension before then. And Gus is being paid a ridiculous sum of money, especially when you consider his on-field achievement. So Auburn may not fight Arkansas if Arkansas wants to make a move at Gus. You know, he's from Arkansas. And obviously for Arkansas, that would be a huge splash for them to get somebody as established as Gus Malzahn. You know, he was the offensive coordinator when Auburn won the title with Cam Newton. He was just a few seconds away from winning a national title with Nick Marshall back in 2013 when Jameis Winston and Florida State drove down the field and scored a last-second touchdown on Auburn to keep them from the national title. So Gus can coach. That would be a great move for Arkansas. I think that's where you may have to look. Auburn and Gus, I think everybody would be okay if they could just kind of have a do-over there. You know, Gus has got a terrible record against Georgia and Alabama. He's got and LSU as well. And Auburn wants to compete. And with the resources Auburn has, that's not an outlandish request for Auburn to compete. And they deserve to be up there. And I think that if Gus wants to leave, I think everybody will be happy to let that happen. And Auburn will kind of start anew. Who Auburn will go hire, that'll be interesting. That's what would get interesting. Florida State letting Willie Taggart go, as I mentioned on earlier podcasts, he was a fish out of water. He was incapable of doing that job. And I was told that as soon as he was hired, before his first fall camp ever started, I was told by a Florida State alum, an ex-player, someone who was consulted in the coaching search, that the Willie Taggart hire was a colossal mistake and that he would not make it. And that it would be an ugly, ugly time. And it was. They fired him a couple of weeks ago. I would guess they think they were getting a head start on the coaching search. But at this point in time, you're not able to interview guys because, you know, you can't interview them until after their season is over. So they're not really getting that much of a head start. But I think behind the scenes, agents are talking to them and they're getting things lined up. I think you're going to see Florida State be used as the team that gets a lot of other coaches' raises. You know, like you take a young, hot coach and he'll use that job to get a raise with no aspiration of really going there. You know, you take, I'm sure, you know, like a PJ Fleck maybe who just signed a big extension, but there's buyouts everywhere. You know, what's the guy, Coach Campbell, I think it is, at Iowa State. Guys that are doing well, they'll use these jobs for leverage and they'll get more money out of their schools and, you know, they'll stay in the same house, keep the same position. They'll just get a big pay raise. So can't knock them for that. Kind of I think earlier this year, we thought that USC replacing Clay Helton was just a formality. And USC started the year kind of ugly, but they've had some big wins. Now I think they're 7-4. And things seem to be improving under Clay Helton. Now, the big problem for Clay Helton is the athletic director. The new athletic director has come to town. Athletic directors are a lot like boy dogs in that what's the first thing a boy dog does? He wants to mark his territory. You let him out in the backyard, he's peeing on everything to mark his territory, and ADs want to mark their territory. And the biggest way to mark your territory is to put your football coach in place. And I think that that's probably not going to bode well for Clay Helton and that he may be replaced. Because the new athletic director wants to bring his guy in, and he wants to be held accountable by the coach that he chooses. Who will that be? The name Urban Meyer keeps popping up. And I just, you know, with you to USC, I'm like, you know what? You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. Can Urban Meyer coach? Absolutely. But man, look what he did to Florida. He quit on, first and foremost, he quit. He absolutely quit like a little spoiled kid that wasn't getting his way. He quit. He can fake all the heart attacks he wants, but he can fake his anxiety if he wants. He quit because he ran that program into the ground with people like Aaron Hernandez. And once he realized that the inmates were running the asylum, he quit. Said he needed a break. Said he wanted to be with his family. And then what happens when Ohio State, the job came open? He went back, you know. Great movie I watched one time, but kind of a cult classic for me, a movie called Primary Colors. And in it, this fella says that he's running for president, but he doesn't want to run for president because he doesn't want to take away from his family. And everybody goes, oh, that's such a nice, look, that's a caring thing to say. And one guy, the honest person, the man who was actually playing a part that was kind of loosely based after James Carville, the Democratic presidential, I don't know exactly what his title would be, but he's like an advisor. Okay. He said, what? You think that guy'd rather be dad than president? And Urban Meyer falls into that same boat. Like, what, you think he'd rather be dad than coach a major university's football team with all the money and the glory and the attention that brings? Nah. The Ohio State job came open. Urban Meyer snapped it up. And what'd he do? He didn't run it in the ground as much as he did Florida, but he ran it in the ground, didn't he? Or he did. He left it worse off. Well, I'm not going to say he left it worse off than he found it because Jim Tressel didn't do a lot with it. You know, he didn't leave it exactly under good terms either. But Urban Meyer left it with potential issues. And Ohio State is lucky that they didn't get in a little more trouble than they did because they covered up domestic violence. One of their assistant coaches, Zach Smith, was abusing his wife and kids. Urban Meyer and the administration knew about it. Now, Urban lied and said he didn't know about it, but Zach Smith's wife, was confiding in Urban Meyer's wife. And you mean to tell me that Urban Meyer's wife didn't tell him? That's as believable as Cam Newton and his father not discussing the recruiting that went on over Thanksgiving dinner. Which Cam tried to say they didn't even discuss it. Come on, man. Nonetheless, Urban Meyer is a winner. He's driven, and he can flat-out coach. But you know what he's going to bring on the back end. But there's an old saying, the only thing that gets you out of coaching is dying and losing. Urban Meyer ain't dead. Urban Meyer hadn't lost. He will have the job he wants, if he wants it, pretty soon. If it's USC, I think that would be one to jump at. It's California. Another intriguing thing about USC, it looks like James Franklin may want to throw his name in the hat. I wouldn't be surprised if James Franklin wasn't going to leverage this job to get more years and more, ultimately more money out of Penn State too. We'll see how that works. Or he may end up wanting to go. And people would say, you know, I know a lot of the Penn State people say, why would he leave here? We're Penn State. We're, you know, it's. Have you ever been to Western Pennsylvania this time of year? Have you ever been to Southern California this time of year? Yeah. Guys, if USC wants James Franklin and James Franklin wants to move, he's probably gone. Better recruiting base, easier schedule, much better weather. Downsides, he's got to live in California. I get it. and with all the ordinances and just insanity going on in California. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, well, let's just kind of follow this and see. There'll be a lot more coaching openings come on. I know South Carolina has said that Will Muschamp will be their coach moving forward. We'll see if that was the dreaded vote of confidence from the AD after they lose to Clemson. That could get ugly, and they may change their tune. Vanderbilt has said they will stay with Derek Mason. Somewhat of a surprise, but Derek Mason had a lot of Vanderbilt teams that fought. Derek Mason beat Tennessee 3 years in a row, and I don't know when the last time Vandy beat Tennessee 3 years in a row was. Granted, Tennessee was way down, but Vandy beat Tennessee. And if you're Tennessee, that should never, ever, ever happen. So it'll be interesting to watch the coaching searches the next few weeks. We will stay up to date on those, and we'll discuss those as they happen. One of the things, another thing I did want to discuss, and it because it's been all over everything in the NFL and in colleges, and that's the poor officiating. And I, as you watch it, you know, you wonder why. You know, you've got these elite athletes out there running around in college and major college and professional. You got just elite athletes running and making plays and just quick and explosive. And then you've got 60-year-old guys with beer bellies trying to chase them around and trying to be in position to make the call. And you wonder why they miss the calls. I'd like to propose this. Why would the NFL, especially in major conferences, SEC, Big Ten, ACC, why would they not hire full-time officials? And I mean, these guys work for the SEC or for the NFL or whatever the case may be. That's their job. They don't leave on Sunday afternoon after the game and fly home and sell insurance that week and then get on a plane that Friday and fly to the next stadium and you know, get with the other officials and do a quick rundown of the game and the players. They work year-round on football officiating. They're already paying these guys over 100 grand to do this. I think the NFL referees, the last time I checked, made 150 grand a year, and then obviously that's plus expenses. Why would they not take younger guys, maybe ex-football players, maybe guys that you know, weren't good enough to make the NFL or the CFL or whatever, and they say, hey, come, let us train you to be a referee. You know the game. You have the athletic ability to move around, and you're in shape. You can stay with these players. We'll teach you how to officiate. We'll pay you very well. And then you don't have to deal with this lawyer that blows a game being the brunt of all jokes on Monday morning. It just makes far too much sense to me. The replay system in football is, I don't know how you can't get that right. I'm sitting here at my house or wherever I am. A play happens on television. Everybody sees it. Oh, he caught the ball. That's a completion. But instead of someone just, you know, clicking down to the referee, hey, he caught that ball, it's good, they have to stop the action. They have to look at it. Sometimes they don't stop the action. Sometimes we see an obvious play and they, oh, well, they're going to let them play. They're not going to look at it. Why don't they get the call right? Regardless of looking at it, regardless if this team has to throw a challenge flag, this team has to call a timeout. If I can watch the game on my television with the CBS feed, one camera angle, and I can see, hey, that's a completion, or that's a first down. Why can the officials not get it right when they've got 9 or 10 of them on the field? They got 3 or 4 of them in a booth. They got officials in New York City watching the game. They can see every camera angle everywhere. Just get the call right, guys. That's all I want. Get the call right. Getting the call right, I tell you who, in my opinion, did not get the call right, and that was the NCAA on Chase Young for Ohio State, defensive lineman for Ohio State. Took some money last year before the bowl game, allegedly to take his girlfriend, or so his girlfriend could get to the Rose Bowl. You know, it's always a sob story. You know, well, they only took money because he had to, whatever. Regardless, he took money. It was a loan from a family friend. Interestingly enough, the family friend was somebody he did not even know until the summer before he was going to the Ohio State University. Pro tip here, guys. Star athletes that are going to the University of to the Ohio State University or Alabama or LSU or Georgia, whoever, they make a lot of friends really quickly. Okay. So Chase Young takes some money, didn't say anything about it. Months go by, didn't say anything about it. All of a sudden, they play Wisconsin. Up until that point, the only good team on their schedule. After the game's over, whoop, there's whispers Chase Young may have taken money. There may be some improper benefits going on here. NCAA looks at it. Chase Young is forthcoming. It was a loan. He's going to miss two games, the Rutgers game and the Maryland game. And conveniently enough, be back for the Penn State game and the Michigan game. That's garbage on the NCAA's part. Especially us Georgia fans, we're remembering back to A.J. Green. We're remembering back to Todd Gurley. They were suspended four games for not taking an improper loan, which, let's be honest, is it a loan? Was it, he hadn't paid the loan back yet, so was it a loan? If he did pay the loan back, how did he pay it back? What do we always hear? He's a poor, broke college kid. How is he going to pay a loan back? Todd Gurley, A.J. Green got four games for selling what was theirs. A.J. Green sold a football jersey. Todd Gurley received, I think it was $400 to sign some autographs and was suspended for four games. They were both forthcoming. They were both open and honest. Why the discrepancy? The James Wiseman situation in Memphis is even more egregious than that. He took $11,500 from Penny Hardaway. Yes, that Penny Hardaway. Yes, the head coach at the University of Memphis, or Memphis University, whatever they call themselves. Head basketball coach. Now, granted, he was not the head coach when he gave the kid $11,500, but he was a booster for the school. He played there. He was a fan there. He had donated over $1 million to the school. That constitutes a booster. He cannot give kids money. He, more than anybody, would have known that. He gave a kid $11,500 to move from, and I could be wrong here, but I think he paid him to move from Nashville to Memphis. $11,500, people. Have you ever moved? You realize you could move an entire mall almost across the state for $11,500. Why $11,500? He's going to be suspended 12 games. That's it. After lying, after suing, after going to court. And you know, the irony here is this. The NCAA said you're suspended for 12 games and you have to pay the $11,500 back, or you have to pay it to a charity of your choice. $11,500. This kid is 19 years old. He's a college freshman. How in the world is he to be expected to pay $11,500 if he's been doing everything by the book? Yeah, you get them. You get my point here? Yet another embarrassing situation for the NCAA, and just yet another reason why very soon they're going to be out of business and the major colleges are going to form their own governing body, and common sense hopefully will prevail. More common sense will prevail if, like I said, you stop, you get you some Davidson's Reserve, Tennessee whiskey, or some Pickers vodka, whatever your choice may be, brown liquor, white liquor. It's top notch. Good stuff. You're supporting small business in America. And as we all know, small business is the backbone of America. We have to support our small business guys. Small business are the ones that buys our Little League programs. They buy our Girl Scout cookies. They sponsor our kids groups, and they help out schools and things like that. So support small business in America. The topic you cannot get away from for the past week or so has been Colin Kaepernick and his tryout, I guess you could call it. And that's just been, it's been all over everything. Everybody has an opinion on it. Colin Kaepernick is an unbelievably polarizing figure. Everybody has an opinion on Colin Kaepernick and his situation. And most people either are riding for him, they love it, they're fighting for the cause, they believe in what he's doing, or some people think that he's just full of it, he's drawing attention to himself and using other people to do it. I'll let you decide what you think, but here's my thoughts on that whole NFL tryout. Let's go back. Colin Kaepernick came into the league and tore it up. Okay, he led the San Francisco 49ers to within 5 yards of a Super Bowl championship. Came to Atlanta, he beat the Falcons in the NFC Championship game, lost to the Ravens and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed in the Super Bowl, and they were on like the 5-yard line and when the game ended. Colin Kaepernick could flat out play, y'all. As the league starts to get film on him, they realize that he is not the most accurate thrower of the football. And they learn to defend him better. He regresses to, I think it's fair to say he was a below average starting quarterback in the NFL. Not terrible, but he was below average. He was replaced by Blaine Gabbert. The 49ers went 1-10. He had a 14 million dollar option for the next year, which he opted out of. He basically told the 49ers, "I'm opting out. I quit. I'm going to go get another job somewhere else." So when people say the NFL has turned their back on Colin Kaepernick, the fact is Colin Kaepernick quit the NFL. He walked away from $14 million when if he or his camp had done any sort of homework, they would have realized that we won't get this opportunity again. Nobody else is going to line up and give you this type of money. Which leads me to wonder, does he really want to play? Because he started kneeling during the national anthem to bring awareness to police brutality in minority communities against minorities. And for all my white buddies out there, I know a lot of you know, but trust me when I tell you this. Racial profiling, police brutality against minorities does exist. It's very real. It is very real, and we need to understand that. And yes, I know on the flip side, there are policemen that are rude and mean and brutal to everybody, to white people, to Latinos, to Asians, whatever. I realize that. But what Colin said, he was bringing awareness to police brutality in the minority community. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about other people. That's just what he's bringing awareness to. And we have to understand that that is a very real thing, first and foremost. Now, Colin Kaepernick also understands that he was using the platform provided to him by his employer and the group that his employer is a member of. His employer was the San Francisco 49ers Football Club. Very successful business, $1 billion-plus business. They were a member of the National Football League. $100 billion-plus business. And just like if you worked for anyone, you worked for any company, you worked for Apple, you worked for McDonald's, let's just keep it simple. you can't use their format or you can't use their platform, not format, their platform to push your personal beliefs or your personal agenda. Okay, I brought it up when I was talking about, you know, colleges, kids in college promoting themselves on a stadium, and they kept saying their name and likeness. You know, McDonald's has paid billions of dollars in marketing money to get people to walk into McDonald's. Now, they get somebody to walk into McDonald's, they've paid you money to stand there and to sell these people food. They're not going to let you push your personal agenda inside their operation that they've paid all that money to have people come in and patronize them. You're going to have to sell McDonald's food. You're going to have to wear McDonald's clothes. You're going to have to say things the McDonald's way, or they will fire you. On the flip side, if you do something that will deter people from coming to McDonald's, they will fire you. Colin Kaepernick and his people had to know, yes, Colin, we live in the United States of America. You have the right to protest. Not one place, anywhere, you show me where it says you have the right to protest at your job while you're being paid. You can't do it. Yes, you have the right to free speech, but you can't go to your place of work and use that right because you might be fired. Okay? It's a big difference, guys. Let's take Apple, for instance. Apple's a much, I think would be considered, if you had a job at Apple, it may be considered more prestigious than having a job at McDonald's. But if you said something that went against what Apple or cost Apple money, I don't care what you said, if it cost Apple stock to drop, you would be fired. And that's what happened here. The bosses of the NFL teams decided that individually now, there was no collusion. Because the NFL is about winning. All 32 teams are individually ran businesses. Their jobs are first and foremost to make money because it's a business. Business of an NFL team is not to win football games. It's to make money. After they make money, they want to win football games. They'd like to win, but if they can make money first, then they're happy. See Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. He keeps making money, so he just lets the circus continue. So when Colin began his protest, all teams realized if we bring Colin in, let's look at what we're going to get. A below average quarterback that can still play, that could help the team, but it's going to cost us money in sponsorship money, which is what feeds everybody here. And it's going to be a locker room distraction. Colin has a right to protest, yes. His employers have the same right to say, we're not going, or potential employers have the same right to say, we're not going to hire you. Which leads me to, you know, and this weekend I think really solidified it for me. I don't think personally that Colin really wants to play football. I think that Colin really wants to go down in history. I think he thinks he's going to go down in history, and it remains to be seen how he will go down. But I think he wants to go down in history, spoken of in the same regard that people speak of a Martin Luther King, a Malcolm X, a Muhammad Ali, a Rosa Parks. I think that's the way Colin wants to be remembered, because if he stops playing football, even if he plays football, he's not really remembered, you know, really at all. I think that's where Colin's priorities are. And you look at the money he's making. Nike is paying Colin good money now not to play. Nike's winning on both ends. They've got all the NFL guys out there, the basketball guys. You know, Nike's making their money from them. They're also making money from people that are pro-Colin, because they're paying Colin to be, you know, the guy that gave up everything. Side note there, Pat Tillman gave up everything, Okay, let's clear that up. So I think that Colin realizes he can make really good money. His legend will, I think, continue to grow as long as he can keep being the guy that the NFL is holding down. The moment he signs a contract with the NFL, that's over. So I don't believe Colin will ever sign a contract with the NFL. That's my personal belief. I look at this tryout and it just reinforces that for me because, first off, Nike got with the NFL and encouraged them to create and plan a tryout or a workout, not a tryout, a workout for Colin Kaepernick on game Saturday, Saturday during the season at the Atlanta Falcons facility in Flowery Branch, Georgia. All the teams, you know, which let's just go back, which was kind of crazy to begin with because this during the season, they play on Sundays. Saturdays, they're already in game mode. They're traveling to the host city. If you're the host team, you're already, you know, you're at the team hotel. You're getting into game mode. Don't bother me. These coaches aren't going to fly out and go see a workout. They're just not going to do it. So that right there was strange enough. But regardless, I think 25 scouts and possibly some GMs were going to show up at Flowery Branch and to see the workout. From the best I can figure, at 2:30, the workout was supposed to be at 3. At 2:30, I saw a tweet come across from Colin or from his camp that said, due to the lack of transparency and that they won't let media in, we're changing the venue of the workout. Now, this was 30 minutes before it was supposed to start. They're changing the venue to Riverdale High School. Riverdale High School, y'all, is 58 miles from Flowery Branch, Georgia. In Atlanta, in Saturday afternoon, Atlanta traffic is bad. Atlanta traffic's bad all the time. That would have been about an hour and a half drive. How many of those scouts could have made it down there under those circumstances? Colin also showed up, not with the media. Well, some media were with him. He showed up with a camera crew, a film crew, to shoot and film a Nike commercial. He showed up wearing a shirt that said Kunta Kinte on it. For some of you young bucks that may not remember, Kunta Kinte was the lead character in the Alex Haley, the movie that was made after Alex Haley's book, Roots. Really good book, really good movie, came out back in the 70s. So I guess implying something, having to do with slavery. I would assume that was the significance of the shirt. That's another conversation. People throw around the term slavery and slave much too loosely now. We have been conditioned in this country to believe that if you say slave, you refer to an African that was brought over to the United States back from the 1600s to the mid 1800s. And that's true, but there are slaves in our country right now as we speak. And we need to be more responsible when referring to slaves because there are people being held in bondage all around the world and in our country right now. So back to Colin's shirt, the Kunta Kinte shirt, the Nike camera crew. You start to wonder, are you really trying to work out and show your goods, or is there something else going on here that you're trying to use? Back to the shirt. I'll ask you this. Now, I realize it's different, so don't get your panties in a wad here. You know, things have been contentious between Colin and the NFL, right? And let's just be honest. Things got contentious because he protested the flag for police brutality versus against minorities. You know, it's a race issue, okay? So you're trying to make things right. You're trying to have a workout. The NFL has planned this workout for you. They've gone along with you. And you show up wearing a Kunta Kinte shirt. If you were to, your wife were to get mad at you, and because you were going out to strip clubs, and your wife said, you know what, I'm leaving you. I'm done with you going to strip clubs and messing with those strippers and spending all our money and doing God knows what. I'm done. She moved out. And then a couple of weeks later, you know, you call back, baby, come back, baby. I'll quit going. Come back, baby. And she said, okay, meet me for coffee. We'll talk about it. Would you show up at the coffee shop to meet your wife to try to get her to move back in and try to apologize? Would you show up wearing a strip club t-shirt that you got from the Oasis? No, you would not. I just think by Colin's actions, he has no aspirations of really playing. He just is using every avenue he can to keep reminding people that they won't let me play. They're holding me back because I'm standing up for my people. And it's admirable that he's standing up for his people. Colin Kaepernick has given a lot of money to various charities and various foundations to benefit minorities around the country. Very admirable, because a lot of guys run their mouth and don't do anything. So I'm not trashing Colin Kaepernick by any means. All I'm saying is I'm questioning whether or not he really truly wants to play football. Because if he wanted to play football, he could, but not with the circus. I'm sure we'll continue this conversation later on. You know, I think I do like to have healthy discussion on matters like this. There is, unfortunately, due to the media, there is a huge divide in the country right now, and the media is trying to drive a wedge deeper between everybody. And the way we don't allow the media to do that is we have discussions amongst ourselves. We talk to people that don't think the way we do, and maybe weren't brought up the way we are, and we hear a different perspective, and they hear our perspective. So hopefully we can, I hope we can spur on some healthy debate here. Now, guys, I appreciate you riding with me for episode 7. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Not going to do a stamp of approval this time. We'll come back. This is kind of since it's a non-traditional show, we'll come back next week. We'll do a stamp of approval, but again, I want to thank my sponsors, Pickers Vodka, Davidson's Reserve. I want to thank B-Hyphen and the Hyphen Podcast Group for putting this thing out there. And guys, let's see what happens this weekend in the games. The only main games are Georgia, Texas A&M, as far as big games rather, and Penn State, Ohio State should maybe a pretty good game. But next week, I'm sure some goofy things will happen this week in college football. It always does this time of year as players, teams get a little thin, get a little banged up, get fatigue setting in, some pressure starts to set in. So it'll be an interesting weekend. So let's get back together next week for episode 8. We'll get caught up on where we are on the football field. If any other social issues have been going on that we need to discuss, we'll get into that. So we'll see everybody back, or we'll hear. I guess you'll hear me back. I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a safe week. And hopefully we'll try to get to you before Thanksgiving. But, you know, if you don't hear me before then, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family. And talk back at you guys real soon. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by. But still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos, but these playoffs thought we was amps. And we're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family. Like Ray Day, me and my decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed to that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya, bulldogging. Like them Georgetown Hawkins. Boy, you signed a silly thing. My room is sitting pretty. Doing donuts while you suckers like them suckers around titties. Damn, we the committee. Gonna burn it down. My daddy's podcast is called Hyphenation. It's the world's greatest podcast. Barack Obama approved. On Hyphenation, my daddy talks about all kinds of cool things. And sometimes I'm on the podcast too. Sometimes he has his friend Marcus on. Sometimes he stays up really late and he's tired the next day. But it's worth it. But he loves his podcast, and I love his podcast. So I really want you to listen to Hyphenation. So Daddy doesn't get sad. He really doesn't get sad, though, because he has me. All right, please listen to Hyphenation. Thanks, y'all. I love the podcast, so please try to join.
join. But if you know him.
Thank you.
Can we hear it?
My name is Miles Amadeus Prower. I have what I believe is a pretty cool podcast that you probably never heard of. I Black Man Podcast is a view of a white world, seen with the aid of a black light and a little humor to help you cope. So check out the I Black Man Podcast on iTunes and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
This is the
I Black Man Podcast, offensively black.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid at exposure.